Hallelujah. Amen. But the wilder the better. And if you're kind of quiet, you're going to have to get used to it, because when you get to heaven, you're only going to have 30 minutes. That's for some of the denominations that don't like loud. Amen? Praise God. And the book of Revelation, how many of you have been to Niagara Falls? Hallelujah. When the saints get together and they begin to praise Jesus, it's going to be like a sound of many, many rushing waters. Hallelujah. It's going to be awesome. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, it's harvest time. Say harvest time. It's time for overflow. It's been prophesied, and the Bible says if we will listen and believe the prophets, we'll prosper. If we'll push them to the side and say, well, we'll see if it happens. Guess what? You're not going to participate in the blessings of God. But it's been said this is the year of the open door. The open door. And I was reading a prophecy that Mark Hakins gave us a couple years ago. I think the first time that him and Trina was here. And it talked about a door of utterance being opened for this ministry, for the church, for us as pastors. And that we were going to see increase and double disciples. Amen? How many of you believe in the book of Acts, they had multiplication of disciples? They weren't just added to the church daily. Yeah. In the beginning, but it says the word then multiplied. There was an open door. Amen. And even in the last conference that we were in, we heard about a lot about doors being open in the spiritual realm. Hallelujah. Praise God. My iPad just froze up. Hallelujah. So I don't know what you're going to get today. In Jesus' name. Okay, second choice. Thank you, Lord. And this iPad isn't that old either. A violent faith. That must have been the last message I preached here. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's see what we have here. Amen. So we have it. Come on, iPad. Praise the Lord. I want us to look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And it's harvest time. This is the year of the open door. This is the time that we are going to possess the land. Amen? We are going to possess the heathen. The Bible says to ask for the heathen for our inheritance. Amen? For the nations, and especially here in New England, we need a breakthrough in revival. Hallelujah. Praise God. And, you know, being in down in Louisiana and going through the states and everything like that, God has something particular he wants to do here in New England. A few weeks ago, Pastor Mike brought some illustrations of revivals that have taken place. Circuit riding preachers going up Route 18 and back. The word has been sown. Prayer has been sown by generations in the past. Hallelujah. And God's hearing the cries of the people. Amen. That want to see breakthrough. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Now, I want to talk about today the importance of proclaiming, making a proclamation of the good news. Not bad news, good news. Amen? Jesus is good news. Hallelujah. And he came to set the captives free. Hallelujah. And verse 36 says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. And I'm wondering if we really are in that place today where we have compassion on the lost. See, all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion. And I think that we are very picky, we're very judgmental, We look at society. We look at this group of people a certain way. We look at that group of people a certain way. But you know what? Jesus looked at them and he seen sheep without a shepherd. He seen the lost. He was moved. Something moved him. And until we as the church, the body of Christ, get into that place where the lost society moves us, we're not going to see the results that we want to see as far as the harvest coming in. Amen? Harvesting takes work. Every aspect of farming takes work. Planting, cultivating, preparing the ground, the soil. But it's also harvest. When harvest time comes, you've got to jump on it immediately. Amen? Or you'll lose the precious fruit. Amen? And there is fruit out there ready and ripe to be picked. So in verse 36, he says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. And I'm here to say that the harvest is plentiful. What we're getting ready to do in this season, you know, Pastor Mike and the group are putting on a drama, and we're building up for a great evangelistic event on Easter. Amen? We're just not going to invite people and have a nice sermonette, all right? It's going to be a place where you can invite your family and friends. Amen? And we don't want it to be churchy, but we want to present Jesus Christ. That he is the only answer for their dilemma. He is the only answer to their problem. Amen. So he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Amen. So, every one of us are laborers. Well, that's just for the preacher. That's just for the evangelist. We look at the great Billy Graham in the past and see the evangelistic anointing, but we all have a story to tell. We all have a testimony to share. Amen? Jesus put it this way in John chapter 4, verse 34. Excuse my voice. I've been through a lot of different weather changes. I've been yelling at my wife and daughter too. Amen. No, not really. They've been yelling at me, but whatever. Praise God. It says here, my food. What does our food consist of? Anybody hungry yet? Huh? Yeah, I'll be honest, if you're hungry. You want an omelet and bacon and... Well, how many of you like a good breakfast? Huh? Y'all like lunch and whatever. Amen. But Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. See, Jesus, he said it is finished, but the work wasn't complete when he left this earth. He told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. And that's on us. That's on the church. The assignment has not changed. Hallelujah. So his job, his work, his food was to do the will of the Father. Don't you have a saying? It is still 4 months until the harvest. But I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe. Say, the harvest is ripe. My neighbors are ripe. My family, they're ripe. They're ripe for the harvest. They're ripe to come into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And we can't always depend on other people to tell them. We've got to share. We've got to walk in love. We've got to be the example. Amen? And we've got to pray for that compassion of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I know that we read this story quite a bit when we're talking about eternity. But I want us to look at Luke chapter 16. about the rich man and Lazarus. And this is a great story because we have to identify with the importance of eternity. And most of you, I believe that most of you, how many of you are born again this morning? You know that if you died at this very moment, you would enter into heaven. The Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord Jesus. Amen? But this is an illustration between a righteous and an unrighteous person. It says there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. You know, a lot of people, they think that if they have everything they ever want, that they'll be satisfied. But that's not true. The more they get, the less they're satisfied. Earthly things, money, cars, houses. They can have 10 houses, 10 mansions. But one of these days, when it's time for them to leave this earth, all of those things are going to be left behind. We can't take anything. When we're talking about heavenly currency, we're talking about eternity. That's the only thing that counts. Amen? And it says, at his gate, verse 20, he laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip his tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." Now notice this. The rich man lived in luxury. Lazarus lived in extreme poverty. In other words, you can be in extreme poverty and still be rich in the eyes of God. Now, God doesn't desire that. He says, "Beloved, I wish that you prosper and be in health as you're so prosperous." But see, money, greed had this rich man. And he found himself, when he died, in a place of torment. Say torment. That means there's suffering in hell. Your next door neighbors, if they don't receive Christ. See, the Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Their partying is not going to send them to hell. Their drinking, their drugging is not going to send them to hell. What's going to send them to hell is a rejection of Jesus Christ. Them not receiving Jesus. Jesus is the ticket into heaven. And people have to be told. In Romans chapter 10, it says, how will they hear unless they're told? Unless a preacher. Say, "I'm not a preacher." Turn to the person next to you and say, "Yes, you are. You're a proclaimer of the faith." Amen? The Bible uses the word profession. We teach confession, but the profession of our faith. In other words, we need to talk about our faith in Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my healer. He is my strengthener. And that is what the world is trying to pop pills. They're trying to take this drug and that drug to fix this and to fix that. What they need is to get high on Jesus. Amen. So we see the condition of this rich man. And the Bible says there was a great chasm or separation between the rich man and Lazarus. But then he began to think, and this is a bad time to think, and I'm wondering if people that have gone to hell, and it must be because Jesus is telling this story, is wondering about their family that's still on earth that hasn't been reached for Jesus. I don't want them to come here in this place of torment. And it says this in verse 27. Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family. For I have five brothers. Let him warm them so that they will not also come into this place of torment. And then Abraham replied, they have Moses, they have the prophets, let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. See, his heart at that point wasn't upon his torment in that place of hell, but reaching the Pharaoh, oh God, send somebody, just somebody to reach my brother, somebody to reach my uncle, somebody to reach my mom and dad, somebody to tell them the story about Jesus. And he went to the cross and he died for them. And all they've got to do is confess Jesus as Lord of their life. Hallelujah. Jesus is moved with compassion. And this Easter season, what are we going to be moved with? We got to color Easter eggs. All that stuff is fun and festive and everything that we do. But the main purpose this was the Apostle Paul's heart. Say heart. We've heard about having heart in our giving, right? In what we do. We've heard about the compassion of Jesus for the lost. That's all heart. This was the Apostle Paul's heart in Romans chapter 9, in verse 1. With Christ as my witness, I speak with uttermost truthfulness. My conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm it. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters. I would be willing to be forever cursed and cut off from Christ if that would save them. Paul's heart was, if I had, would have to lose my salvation to reach them. If I would have, could, if they could take my place. Moses had that kind of heart. Remember when they had sinned and Moses came down from the mount. Aaron had built the golden calf and God was going to destroy the children of Israel. And Moses stood in the gap and he said, no, God, you're going to have to do me first. Your covenant, your word. Hallelujah. And that's the same heart that we should have. Our neighbors, our family, our friends, our work friends that we work with. God, whatever, speak to me. Stir that within me. I can't say you can just do it. I'm going to do it today. No, maybe we need to pray. Maybe we need to fast. Maybe we need to spend some time with the Lord until we get that hunger for souls, until we get that, that gnawing thing that I need it more. I need it more. As a pastor, I need it. I look at Pastor Judy and she has an evangelistic thing. But yet Paul told Timothy to do the work of the then evangelist. Timothy was a pastor. And sometimes I get jealous because she has more of that than what I do. I like to get up here and feed the sheep and have fun and you know, praise God. But there's a serious side of church. And that is to have a heart for the lost. Heart for souls. And those of you that are in the drama, those of you that are working so hard over Easter, next Sunday's Palm Sunday. We need to use this season right now. when it's been proven that Easter is one of the holidays that people, you can get them to go to church, Christmas and Easter, where they won't go any other time. And maybe you can't witness to them, but you can bring them in. You can do an invite. Hallelujah. Bring them in. And in closing today, Pastor Judy's going to come up in just a moment. But I want to share just something from a woman who loves souls, woman that loved Jesus, a lady by the name of Mary Booth. And her husband founded the Salvation Army. Hallelujah. And I think I've shared this before, but this is a prayer of her heart, and I think it needs to be a prayer of our heart. It says, oh, for a heart that is burdened and infused with a passion to pray. Oh, for a stirring within me. Oh, for this power every day. Oh, for a heart like my Savior, who being in agony prayed, such caring for others, Lord, give me. Oh, my heart, let burdens be laid. And she goes on, my Father, I long for this passion. I pour myself out for the lost, to lay down my life to save others, and to pray whatever the cost. Hallelujah. That's powerful. You should have typed that out, guys, not copied it from my picture. You lazy guy. You know, what were you doing back there? I just sent that to Ty A. Just got, you know, because whatever. Amen. But this is our season. Let's step into it. Let's not let this pass us by. Amen? We let so many things pass us by, and once it goes by, it's too late. We can't redeem the time on some things. So Pastor Judy, come on up. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And pray that I get my iPad fixed, because this is tiny print.
That's why he needed it typed up. You guys are the hardest working workers we have.
They
give
are.
Give our media team. Sometimes we get stuff to them at the very last minute, and they make it happen. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to read a scripture, and it's at Psalms 2:8, and it says, ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth as your possession. It's so important. It's always important for us to be in prayer. But it's right now, Easter is such a season, I think we need to intensify our prayers. And God said, if you'll ask of me, he said, ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth as your possession. And then there's another in Matthew in the New Testament, Matthew 9:36-38, Jesus is talking here. And it says, he felt great pity for the crowds that came because their problems were so great and they didn't know where to go for help. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is so great, but the workers are so few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send out more workers in the field. And I like the way the Passion Translation says, he turned to his disciples and said, the harvest is huge and ripe, but there are not enough harvesters to bring it all in. As you go, plead with the owner of the harvest, who is God, to thrust out many more reapers to harvest his grain. Listen, without us, without the harvesters, without the workers, we're not going to see people come into the kingdom of God. The Bible says that they have to hear the gospel. Amen? And so we're called to preach the gospel, every single one of us. And it's so important. You know, I know that you've been praying for your families to be saved. Stop praying. There's other people that they will listen to. I shared this before. I remember my mom wouldn't listen to a word I said. But when I kept praying, God sent somebody else. He sent a worker. He sent a friend. And she ended up coming into the kingdom of God. Pray for laborers. God is looking for laborers. And we need to be laborers. Amen? And we need to be laborers in prayer. We can go out and we can pass out a million cards, but we need to pray over every card. We need to be on our knees praying. We need to be seeking God and praying and saying, God, we don't think that we're not going to have revival. We are going to have an awakening. People's eyes are opening, and we go to the Lord of the harvest. We're praying the will of God, and it says, if you ask anything according to my will, it shall be done. And he said, it's not his will that one perish, not one. And so it's up to us. It really is up to us. Amen? And there's so many scriptures in the Bible talks about, those that they that win souls are wise, and they that win souls will shine as the firmament, like the stars in the sky. I mean, I am telling you, God, Jesus is talking to his disciple, and God is calling us to pray. And what a great season right now to really give it a push forward. Amen? And we're going to be announcing some, not this week, but next week, we're going to have as many nights and mornings and days as we can of prayer before Easter, and we're going to come together, and we're going to believe God for the greatest harvest that we have ever seen. Amen? No, we don't just want, we're not just trying to fill up a place. We're looking to win souls for the kingdom of God. And listen, if we're not growing and we're not winning souls, something ain't right. If we're just sitting and getting fed on the word of God and nothing, and we're not touching the world, something's not right. Amen? And so we're asking you as pastors to think and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. Excuse me. To lead you into who to invite, who to pray for during your prayer time. I mean, there are people that they're just, the Bible says it's huge and ripe. They're so ripe, and they're waiting for you. And if you don't show up, who will? And that's the way we need to treat this. If I don't show up, then who else is gonna? We have to think like it just depends on me. Amen.
Amen. Hey, Pastor Judy, the Proverbs chapter 11:30, the Amplified Bible says, "The fruit of the uncompromisingly righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise captures human lives for God as fishers of men. He gathers and receives them for eternity."
Wow, that's so anointed, man. That just makes me want to weep. I mean, that's powerful. It's time to cast out the nets. We're called fishers of men. Yes, God wants to minister to you and feed you, and he wants you to walk in the promises of God. But we cannot let this world go to hell. And listen, people don't want to hear. The pastor brought out that scripture. And people don't want to believe that there is a literal hell. But folks, there is. There is. Read your Bible. And the Bible hasn't changed. And the only way to not go there is to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The only way is to receive his forgiveness. You can't pray yourself into heaven. You can't pray yourself out of hell. You can't pray for somebody once they're dead. Once they're dead, it's too late. You cannot pray them into heaven, and you cannot pray them into hell. You cannot do that. The only way, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Receiving, he's the one that brought forgiveness. He's the one that cleansed our soul. Amen? And the world needs to hear that. But everybody's trying to be good. How many prayers can we pray? How many times can we go to church? How many, who measures sin? Well, for this sin, you're going to go to hell, but this sin isn't so bad. I don't know. I grew up in a church where there were different types of sins. It has nothing to do with that. Jesus already paid the price for your sin, and the way to heaven is just believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to get that message out to the world. Amen? And so what we've done here is we have the ushers with these cards. The first thing I want to pass out right now, if you haven't got one of these, This says, who am I inviting? And it has five spots. Maybe you only will fill out one of those spots, but it also has a way in the back to pray for them, things to do, and to pray for those people. Pray that God will give you favor. Pray in for those people to be saved. And so that's the first thing. Start praying. Start, who is it? Maybe it's your next door neighbor. And you say, well, they've never talked to me. I've been living here for 50 years and they never talked to me. Put them on your list. I don't know their name. Lord, my next door neighbor. I'm praying for an awakening. I'm praying for their eyes to open. I'm praying, you know, for the people that walk their dogs in front of my house. Lord, I just pray, because if you'll begin to pray, God will begin to open the door. God will give you an opportunity to speak to them. Amen? There's so many opportunities that we miss. You know, we get people, we have a dog, we have a big window in front of our house. And so our dog, she looks like Scooby-Doo. And when people walk by, she gets her paws up and she growls and she... But they think it's so cute. In our house, it's like, will you be quiet or I'm going to put you in the room because you'd bark. But everybody else thinks she's so cute that they all stand in front of our house with their 50 dogs, you know. And we're like, will you please move, you know. But I'm believing God's, I'm going to start walking out there and tell them about Jesus. And then we'll see what happens. Amen. I'm going to get out there with my invite cards. Hey, by the way, my daughter always tells us, she says, Mom, if you had a dog blessing service, everybody would come. I don't know. We'll have to see about that. But anyhow, I want you to pray. I want you to pray for these people. And then we have these cards, okay? First of all, we have these Easter flyers. And you know what? Pass them out. You know, invite people. This is a live, original drama presentation. This is not going to be church as usual. This is not your Easter service as usual, but it will have the message clear and concise about receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. This drama presentation, we have these out there for you. Take a few. Even just take three. If everybody in here took three and just gave them to somebody, gave them to their next door neighbor, and invited them, it's like inviting them to a show. Amen? And then we also have these. These are, join us every Sunday. These came out great. You're invited to Living Word. These are more, a little bit more generic, but you can also pass it. And we're going to be really pushing to pass these out a lot, not just for Easter, but every week. And you can pass these out. So the reason why we did this, this is to help you. This gives you an opening. Sometimes, you know, I'll be in a supermarket or somewhere, anywhere, gas station or store. And where was I? Oh, that was at Dillard's, right? And there was a guy, we were in the shoe department, and I don't know, it was just the Holy Ghost. And this guy was, he was from Haiti. I could tell he was a Haitian. And I just started talking to him about the things that are going on over there. And I said, would you like me to pray? I just felt so led of God to pray. And this man was so moved that somebody cared about what was going on. And I prayed with them, and then Pastor came over, and he looked at Pastor, and he goes, you must be a pastor, because this woman is a woman of God. And he said, I am a pastor. but what I'm saying is, you don't know where you're going to be. You could be in the shoe department at Macy's or somewhere, but have these with you, amen? You can pray for people and then invite them. So get on board, and then the last week, come out for prayer. Come, I know there's going to be Wednesday night prayer, but I believe we're going to have Monday night prayer, Tuesday night. We're going to let you know. We're going to give you the schedule next week. Get out here for prayer. People, oh, no, it's just prayer night. No, no, no. That's when things happen. When you pray, the heavens open. When you pray, God moves. Amen? Hallelujah. So are you gonna help us here? Amen. You're gonna be one of the harvesters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.